Welcome back. Continuing on here in the 4 o'clock hour, thanks to Bama Bob for his insights into college football and the College Football Selection Committee. In the next, well, I'd hope today to pull both of these, both schools off, a look at the redshirt freshmen that'll now make an impact and perhaps some of the true freshmen signed this past February by both Iowa State and Iowa, but we'll have to wait for Iowa until next week. But without further ado, let's take a look at Iowa State. Chris Williams, Cyclone Fanatic, joins me. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Doing very well, Ken. How are you, man?
I'm good. Thanks for coming on. Football in a minute. I can't tell you how much I enjoyed your piece at Cyclone Fanatic today on your interview with Matt Abdelmassi. Seems like a really, I'll be honest with you, Chris, I've never spoken with him before. Seems like a real bright guy and clearly has by reading what I read, seems to have a future in this game.
Yeah, no, he's a sharp guy. He really is. It comes across, I think, via print and what you read, but I think if you really just sit down and talk to him is when you really buy into him, if that makes any sense. And I remember I did a similar sit down with him about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, after he had just taken the assistant coaching job, and basically asked him, he didn't have any experience. I asked him, why are you qualified for this job? And just the answer that he gave me just blew me away. And he's a great guy. You should try and get him on the program sometime. He very open. And I think he's come a long way in 2 years too. And I think that he's got a bright future ahead of him.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think that's a good idea, especially if the Knicks are able to get past the Celtics. Maybe we'll have Mondo a little combine the two conversations. What is his role, Chris? What role does he play on the coaching staff? Is he out on the recruiting trail? Is he does he have the advanced scout on one of the next opponents? What's his role?
Yeah, he's basically what Otzelberger was under McDermott.
Gotcha.
The primary recruiter. He's out on the road more than the other guys, and that's basically what he's up to at this point in time.
I do disagree with him, and so do you. You think he's until you knock off Kansas, Kansas is still the team to beat, according to his answer to your question.
Kansas has never lost five starters and had a team with three NBA guys, lottery picks potentially,
right,
to combat them. I don't know. I think it's Oklahoma State's year, but we'll see. Like Matt said, it's scary to ever bet against a streak. You know that. Being a Vegas guy.
Yeah, indeed. But looking at that Oklahoma State roster from top to bottom, I think that I agree with you. They're clearly the team to beat. Well, Chris, let's start as we take a look at football and who may make an impact right away, who's waited a year before they can make their impact on this football team. And I guess let's start with the 2012 signing class kids that, redshirted last year. I think there was a class signed in excess of 20. I have no idea how many are still there. I would like to think that the majority are. But let's start with redshirt freshmen first of all, and it's alphabetized at cyclones.com, and Aka is right off the top. And of the redshirt freshmen, could he be the one potentially that makes the biggest impact on this year's team?
Well, I think that Pierre Aka and Colin Bevins both are in that conversation. Just in it, no disrespect to them, because they're here's the deal. This is the biggest difference at Iowa State now compared to 5 years ago, is they're redshirt freshman defensive tackles are at 275, where back in the day, those guys weren't really physically ready to play until they were probably juniors and hopefully a senior. These guys are physically ready to go now. What Shane Burnham, the defensive tackles coach, always talks about is toughness. There's a difference in, your body being ready and mentally being ready to. It's probably the hardest position to play as a true freshman in the Big 12. In any other major conference is defensive tackle. Problem is there's just not a lot there. These guys are going to have to play. And because of that, they might just make the biggest impact. Both of those guys have very bright futures. They're very excited about them. I think a lot is going to depend on Rodney Coe from Iowa Western Community College, what he's like when he gets to town. Mm-hmm. By all means, I think he should be a starter at defensive tackle or defensive end, wherever they play him. I would think it would be defensive tackle, though, based off of need alone. If he can come in and really gobble up a bunch of minutes, then the the need for those two redshirt freshmen decreases, but they're still going to be used. You know how Rose likes to rotate guys on the defensive line. But, yeah, I think both of those guys really stand out to me, especially on the defensive end. There's another one I would throw – two more guys I would throw out there as far as redshirt freshmen go. One is Luke Knott. I think Luke, especially against Big 12 teams in the spread, he's a former defensive back, well, linebacker. He's more athletic by all means than Jevon Miller. And I think that, you know, against the West Virginia, a game like Oklahoma comes to my mind last year where Jake Knott was out and they had a heck of a time matching up at that little linebacker position. I think Luke Knott's a perfect guy to throw in there against the Big 12 spread offense. Just basically that defensive back background, he's fast and he's very smart. I interviewed Jake about Luke a couple weeks ago, and Jake, that's the one thing he raved about, how quickly his little brother is able to pick things up, a former quarterback, so that helps. I think he plays quite a bit. And then Charlie Rogers is a name at cornerback. I remember the freshman had only been on campus a couple weeks last year, and you know, I was already hearing very positive things about Charlie Rogers at corner. He's the kid out of Iowa City, if you remember.
Yeah, he got some size, too.
He does, and that's the thing. I mean, he's 6'1". Something like that, 200 pounds off the top of my head. But he, here's the deal. So you've got Jansen Watson, who's I think going to be a top one, two, or three team Big 12 cornerback, right? Well, the rest of those corners, I mean, you got Inland at 5'10", but he's only 165. Sam Richardson is only 5'7". Damian Lowry only weighs 169 pounds. And then you got Charlie Rogers again at 6'1", 202. I think that if he has grasped the game mentally at all, just based off of what I've heard and what the coaches said during spring football, that he's going to play some football for Iowa State this year. So keep the name Charlie Rogers. I think he could be it's very early in his career, but I think he could be a very, very good football player for us.
Well, he certainly can, he impresses you. He looks the part. And he runs how he looks. I mean, he runs a 4.5. So, you know, the answer to this question as far as redshirts could be, Chris, if Sam Richardson, the quarterback, gets hurt or doesn't move forward, the answer to the question could be Grant Roack.
Absolutely. And I think probably a year ago, if you would have asked me, I would have thought that, before I knew that Sam Richardson was going to get in play last year and do all right for Iowa State, I would have told you that I thought this would be a dead heat at this point in time between these two guys. I think we've talked about this a couple of times, I think, on this show. I think that, if Richardson struggles, I don't think that they would be scared to. Listen, we all know Rhodes likes to bounce around quarterbacks. I don't know if he likes to do it, but he's done it in the past. This is a more fair way to say it. And I think Rohatch showed, even in the spring game, I mean, he wasn't great, but neither was Richardson. It just didn't look to me like there's a whole lot of you couldn't tell, oh, that Sam Richardson guy's a lot better than his backup. It did not stand out that way at all. So I think that you're right. He very well could be the impact guy should Richardson slip up. However, having said that, I mean, Richardson to me is a different type of quarterback than the last couple of years when we've had this conversation about Steele Jantz and Jared Barnett. I think the problem with Steele was Steele kind of had that Brett Favre thing going on where he looks like a Heisman Trophy contender one game and then he's just a complete disaster the next. Jared never really had the arm strength or the accuracy to make you think, oh, he's going to be a really consistent quarterback for Iowa State, but he had the intangibles, the leadership, everybody loved playing for him. I think Richardson is more of a steady guy. I think he's more of a accurate passer. He's got that leadership quality, and he can run. I think it's going to be harder for him to just lose the job than it was for those other two guys based off of what he brings to the table. But having said that, Rohatch is going to be breathing down his neck. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised if that quarterback competition is a lot closer than anybody knows about either, just based off of how publicly the quarterback competitions have played out the last couple of years. There's no way it hasn't been a bit of a distraction for those offenses. And if I'm Paul Rhodes heading into this season, I'm trying to keep that as quiet as possible.
I agree with you. Well, we know that the three community college kids that were signed, The JUCOs are going to play, and that's Rodney Coe's going to have a big impact. Aaron Wimberly, we know that he can fly, and he's going to have an impact. And also Emmanuel Bibbs, a tight end, between him and Ernst Brunn, that's a pretty good tandem of tight ends right there. How about the true freshman, Chris? Is there, and I'll start with this one because he had the most stars assigned to him. You know how stars are, hit and miss. But Jake Campos is a kid who switched his commitment. Jake Campos is a guy that a lot of teams were salivating over. He arrives with 4 stars. He's 6'7". He needs to fill out a little bit. But with the uncertainty perhaps on the offensive line, is there any way Campos plays as a true freshman?
I would say a slim chance, and it's nothing against him. I think it's just more they really value him. They really value the redshirt year at Iowa State. And here's the thing about Iowa State's offensive line recruiting. It still hasn't we still don't really know how they've done completely, but we do know that there's a lot of guys there, right? I mean, I think we need another year to judge really how Rhodes' offensive line recruiting has been since he got here, because most of the guys he started bringing in on those first few classes are just starting to play now, albeit a couple of them have been out there for a year or two. But as a whole, I think we're going to see that this season. And I just don't – in a position like that where it's just so critical, you know, to get that year to grow, Rhodes always says, these are his words, not mine, the closer you are to the ball, the harder it is to play as a true freshman. And I just don't see it. And there's just too many guys he would have to jump over. I think that for his best interest, for Iowa State's best interest long term, it would be to give him that redshirt season. Because I just don't, like I said, I don't know if he's going to jump over. Jake Gannon and Siobhan Deke is out of the mix, obviously. But Jake Gannon, Ethan Tufte, Tom Farniok are both solid starters, lockdown, you know, put it in ink. But then there's guys like Brock Daigle, Jamison Locke, Bob Graham, who have all been in the program. They've, you know, they've had those development years. As good as I think Campos probably is, I just don't know if he's good enough to – he's not Orlando Pace, right? I just don't think he's going to jump right in and play. I could be wrong, but I think it's in everybody's best interest if he sits the year out.
I'm with you. All right, one more local kid who's not going to play this year, but Joel Lanning is a pretty darn good baseball player. He's not going to play baseball, according to the Register. They broke that story a couple of days ago. Joel Lanning will not play baseball for Ankeny. He's going to concentrate on Iowa State and the football program, and I think that's making the right move. Chris, he's not going to play this year. At least I wouldn't expect him to play this year. What do you expect for Joel Lanning? Is Joel Lanning, is his future at the quarterback or at a different position?
Well, I know it's going to start at quarterback. They've been very adamant about that. Listen, he wants to play it, and by all means, he brings something to the table that these other guys don't. He is obviously it's a little bit crazy considering he's never taken a snap, but he's Colin Klein
yes, he is.
Style of quarterback.
No
and
question.
I think, too, I mean, I wrote this a lot last year because I got the chance to see Joel play once, and it just happened to be right around when Iowa State played Oklahoma and, you know, like what they were doing with, like, a Blake Bell. I mean, here's my thing with Iowa State heading into the season. We can break down position by position. We can look at stats, whatever. At the end of the day, they need to score more points, period. I don't care what the defense does. The offense has to score more. You cannot average 24 points a game and expect to – win more than 3 games in the Big 12 ever. They've got to score more points, and they've got to get creative to do that. And to me, like a Joel Lanning, if he brings you something different, I try it, you know, I give it a shot. He's obviously a kid who knows how to win. I really like that aspect of him. Who knows? And we'll see what happens. He's got a cannon for an arm. It's just, you know, there's a lot more to playing quarterback in the Big 12 than having a strong arm and being able to run. But my point is, like, I think that he's a guy who you could potentially do some gadget plays with and that sort of thing. So I think he starts out at quarterback for sure. How long it lasts, I really have no idea. But by all means, based off of what I've been able to learn, there's no plans at all to move him at any immediate time.
Which is great because I think he is a quarterback, and I think he will be a quarterback at Iowa State. All right, this freshman class, Chris, Alton Meeks, the linebacker, does he have the best chance to play as a true freshman, or am I missing anybody?
No, he probably does. However, did a little digging on that towards the end of the spring. because my premise to a column I was working on was that Iowa State's three starting linebackers right now on the depth chart, none of them had a redshirt year, being Jeremiah George, Devin Miller, and Jared Brackens, which is odd. At Iowa State, that just doesn't happen very often. And I basically posed it to Rhodes, is there a coincidence that all three of those guys just happened to, it would have been their third spring where is Paul and Wally Burnham like to put it, their light came on. And Paul gets to talking about how, you know, at this point, yeah, sure, you would really like to have that redshirt year back for all three of those guys for the sake of the program. And he kind of threw in there that Meeks, by all means, is probably ready to play and come and do what Jake Knott and A.J. Klein did as true freshmen on special teams and really help out the team that way. But Paul said, we're going to do everything we can to redshirt that kid because they really like him. And again, this is a staff that really values the redshirt. Alton came in, for those who don't know, he graduated high school a semester early so he could come in and get that extra spring practice in. When that happens, generally the case at Iowa State is you play the next year. That's what happened with Jevin Miller. It's not like Jevin Miller was some highly touted five-star prospect. So he's going to be ready if they need him. However, I think they're starting to learn. There's a few more guys in the pipeline now than there were when Jake and AJ were freshmen, and a few more than even Jeremiah. There hasn't been much turnover at all in the Paul Rhodes there, but the one place there has been at linebacker. They've lost a couple of linebackers that has really set them back. Well, now they're a little more fully stocked. So I think by all means they're going to try and redshirt Alton Meeks, but it would not surprise me at all if they get to August and they say, hey, man, we need you. I know the kid will be ready to play.
So is there a chance that none of these true freshmen play, Chris?
Yeah, I think it's very possible. I mean, I believe that was the case last year, too. I think because they brought enough JUCO guys in as well.
Yeah.
Because Rodney Coe, Aaron Wimberly, EJ Bibbs, and, I think that would probably be my bet right now. I think if any of them are going to play, it would be Meeks. But I don't know. I just told you what Rhodes said about that, and it didn't sound real encouraging. I think they want to redshirt him. So, that would be my guess at this point, and I know that's the way that they like it.
Chris, we appreciate you coming on and giving us a little insight into what redshirt freshmen you expect to make an impact, and if indeed anybody in this class other than the JUCOs will. And by the sounds of things, perfect case scenario, none of them see the field until next year.
Yep. Thanks, Ken. I appreciate it, man.
All right, buddy. Good talking to you. Chris Williams, Cyclone Fanatic, joining us on the WCI Pools and Spas Hotline. We'll continue on here. We're here until 6 o'clock tonight. We turn things over to the Extra Innings crew. No Cardinal baseball tonight, so the boys will talk baseball from 6 until 7. It's Miller and Brinson on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.